You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing, and here we are doing another amazing AfterBuzz TV After Show for your favorite show. It's Dexter, and we're on Season 8, Episode 11.
It's almost over.
Oh, man.
It's almost over.
Second to last.
Yeah, second to last. Monkey in a Box. I'm your host, Shano, and I'm joined here by my always amazing co-hosts.
Hi, I'm JJ Juergens.
Hey, I'm Stephen Lemieux.
And we're going to be talking about the following topics tonight. We're going to be discussing Saxon escaping death narrowly.
He was, like, just popping up places this episode.
Everywhere. He was Okay, I was going to say a dirty joke, but let's not talk about that. Dexter doesn't need Harry anymore. Elway and Clayton tail Hannah. And lastly, Quinn and Deb. And we'll talk about little cool stuff that happened with them.
Aw.
Aw, it was so tender. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're missing Anna Koppel tonight, and she will probably be joining us next week. But she will be missed. She's here in spirit. Am I right, everybody?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Miss you, Anna.
So, Saxon escapes death narrowly.
Well, I mean, he escapes going to jail for a long time while they ponder whether to give him the electric chair or not.
I know, man. It's just, I was expecting Dexter to kill him, and I think it was a good reason. It was a good reason why he didn't want to, because he didn't feel the need anymore. And I don't feel like Dexter's felt the need for quite a while now. He's just been chasing around the brain surgeon this whole season, and we don't, mostly me and Steven, we've been saying, like, oh, Dexter hasn't had a kill room kill, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not having those conversations with people anymore. And he hasn't had the need to. He is really busy. He's been on a wild goose chase, right, for the brain surgeon. He's had his family to worry about, mending his relationship with Deb, taking care of Harrison, tying up loose ends, you know, all kinds of loose ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice, though. It's nice to see the resolution to his character in a way where he's really, like you said, JJ, you said he transitioned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually liked that moment. I thought it was a nice way, you know, to have him come to realize that, because it was a little frustrating that while he's trying to get out of town, get Hannah out of the country, he wants to stop to make one last kill. It's like, oh, come on. Like, when is it enough, or when is anything else going to be more important? So I did like that he had that conversation and left him on the table for Deb to get the glory from it. I didn't see Clayton coming in. I thought when Deb came in then he was gonna maybe kill Deb, but I didn't account for Clayton the ding dong to show up.
For Clayton's dumbassosity. Oh. Jesus, what the heck is his problem, man? Going into this place without backup?
He's been a consistent dumbass the whole time. Frustrated us.
Dude, I'm thinking about the actor. I don't even know his name, but I know he was in Sons of Anarchy. And his character died in such a stupid way in that show, too. He stepped on a mine, and he got blown to bits.
Oh, he doesn't have a very good luck.
It was just so awful, right?
Wasn't his last word just, osh?
Yeah.
Like, that's all he said, and then he was just gone. And I'm like, okay.
Bravo. But this was even worse, because he was like, oh, no, I didn't see anybody. And then he just gets stabbed right in the heart. There's no way that he's coming back from that. Am I right?
Yeah, like you said, like, not analyzing the situation at all. There's a table full of, you know, knives, and well, I'd just be a little more cautious.
It just doesn't make sense to me in that he's investigating Deb for hiding Hannah McKay. He's not investigating Deb for being a murderer, for being an abductor, for being this, for being that. It just doesn't make sense for him to jump to the conclusion that, oh, Deborah is at this place where this guy has tied up this other guy. It doesn't really, like, he's smarter than that. He's the only person who's putting two and two together throughout this season with, like, Hannah being in this place and Hannah being hidden by Deb, you'd think that he'd be a little bit more smart or at least calling backup before letting this guy off a table.
Well, and especially knowing their job. I mean, it's part of his job to be aware of all this kind of stuff, and it's just been on the news what Oliver has done, and everybody in the town has seen these videotapes, and so you'd think maybe he would thought, oh, this guy was in here, but Deb hadn't found him yet, because it was a big place. You know, she could have been in some other room, like, but still, that could have been who she was looking for, and he just is so quick to let him up.
Yeah, you're totally right, JJ. Even regarding him, like, listening to the news and bulletins and stuff, yeah, you think a U.S. deputy marshal would be a little bit smarter, and even if he's doing a stakeout with tailing Deb and trying to find Hannah McCain, what her whereabouts are, right? Stakeouts are kind of boring sometimes, and you can't always listen to police chatter, right? And how much U.S. Marshal chatter would there be? There probably wouldn't be any, right? So at least the radio, it would be like an all-points bulletin all over the radio. It would be it was on the TV.
At a gas station.
And Saxon himself saw it. If he saw it and the marshal doesn't, come on,
this is the next day. This isn't something that it's just like it just immediately went on the television. This is, hey guys, we just got 13 videos of someone sawing into people's skull and taking their brains out. By the way, he looks like this. We had him in the station. We know exactly who he is. There's a bolo out on this guy, obviously.
It's the same room that the videos too.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, right? And it would have been like 12 hours later. That would have been the news story being eaten up by the press all night for 12 hours. CNN would have been dissecting it. The Associated Press would have been saying every half hour updates, you know, on this guy in the manhunt.
The problem is that I see his reaction coming from a place where he knows about this killer and he sees the chair and he's like, oh, this must be a victim of this killer. But at the same time, the picture was just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could see his reaction of, oh my God, this is the situation. That guy's coming back. I need to get this guy out of the chair. But wait a second. That guy is the guy in the chair. Maybe something different's going on right here. I don't know. He got stabbed to the heart for his mistake, though. And then Deb got shot for his mistake.
Yeah, and I don't know if she's going to die or not. We saw in the teasers for next time, she seems like she's in a lot of pain. I want to say she's going to do some kind of, she's going to make an omission. She's going to say something, or not an omission, rather. She's going to admit something, and she's going to say probably blab about everything that she knows to Dexter and everything regarding the case. She's not going to have a filter because she's in so much pain, I would imagine.
I think she'll tell it to Quinn.
Yeah,
I think she's going to tell a lot more than, because Quinn has always kind of known. And I mean, you think of the truce between Dexter and the truce that Oliver put out there. I mean, Dex kind of has an unspoken truce with Quinn, in that Quinn kind of knows that Dexter killed Liddy. I mean, he kind of knows. But Dexter smeared the blood evidence and got Quinn off from the murder.
Yeah.
So like, they kind of have that, yo, bro fist kind of not going to.
Yeah,
exactly.
Respect, man.
It's like, I know that you're doing this for you're doing this, but whatever you're doing, I'll stay out of it because you kept me out of jail.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you guys. I thought that was going to be my prediction this time, too, is that she is going to confess to Quinn of who Dexter really is and what she has done and, you know, what she did to La Guerta. And I kind of see it as a way, too, that she almost has to do that. I think she's going to live, but I think that almost had to have happened for her. If she is going to marry Quinn, I feel like that's a big bomb to find out later in life after you're married to somebody. So I do kind of think that would also help them to go ahead and move forward with their marriage.
And I didn't quite understand it at first. There was a tweet from Phil, and he was saying that, like, Dexter's duties will be passed off to Quinn. And I was reading, I was like, you mean, like, killing people? I'm like, nah. And then watching tonight's episode, I'm kind of like, okay. So going after Saxon is kind of going to maybe be passed off to Quinn as Dexter tries to escape. Because if Quinn knows about a little bit about Dexter and knows who this Oliver Saxon guy is, Quinn's been on a manhunt for Zach this whole time, thinking that he was the one who killed Cassie. He was the one who killed this other girl and everything. He's going to see that Zach's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to know that Oliver killed Zach, of course, because he's in the video horrible video of cutting open his skull alive. He's going to see that he killed Cassie. He's going to assume that he killed the woman that Zach actually did kill. But still, that's going to put him on Oliver super hardcore, especially Quinn's the kind of guy that will take it personally, the fact that he looked Oliver in the eye while Oliver lied to him across that interrogation room.
Lying his ass off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's something that Quinn's going to take personally, and he's going to hate it so much more. He's going to just drive him towards getting this guy more.
I wanted to, you were talking about all that stuff, and it kind of reminded me of the service that they had today. Was that a service for Zach, or, oh no, it was for Vogel. Right, I was thinking, like, who is this for? Do they know Zach's gone already?
Isn't it funny how Vogel dies at the end of last episode, and then this episode we have, this whole after show, we haven't even mentioned Vogel, because we don't really, like, I mean, it's just such a bigger impact to see Marshall get stabbed and Deb get shot that we kind of forget about Vogel.
Yeah, it almost feels like this episode, it felt like there was a bigger impact for Vogel being killed than there was for Maria La Guerta. Because they ellipsed over the whole service, and they go right to the bench ceremony dedication.
Here's La Guerta's bench, and we'll just give Evelyn Vogel this nice big fountain. Maybe a chair.
Yeah. So Saxon escapes. He was just pissing Dexter off the whole episode. Like, just going to Dexter's territory and just whizzing all over everything, right?
It was super predictable, though.
It was.
It was like every time they would say something and they didn't mention a name, you're like, oh, it's Saxon. It's just, oh, it's Saxon. Like, hey, I invited someone to your birthday party you might not know. It's Oliver Saxon!
Surprise!
Yeah, it just...
Surprise, mother... Parker.
There you go. I mean, the interrogation room. Hey, we need a DNA sample from that guy in the interrogation. Okay, it's going to be Saxon. Hey, someone's coming to check out your house. It's going to be Saxon.
Yeah.
It kind of got redundant to the point. But now, I mean, it was an interesting scene with the realtor, because they did bring back Syl from Miguel Prado and everything.
Yeah, that was so weird. When I saw her, I was like, this isn't the typical realtor. Who the hell is this? And then you mentioned that it was her. I totally forgot. And she's an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is like, I was expecting like a realtor with shoulder pads, you know, like an older lady. And here it walks Syl Prado. I guess it's short for Sylvia, right? It's gotta be.
Yeah. But that's also, I like that they did that too, because I actually kind of thought it was funny while I was watching. And she's like, yeah, I was really happy when I got the call, is what she said. And I was like thinking, like, the actress was probably like, yeah, I'm really happy when I got the call that I was coming back for another episode. But no, I like that they bring her back, because it goes back to, I mean, this episode kind of ties in with Miguel's season. And that was when Dexter tried to teach someone the code. And it failed miserably, of course. We see that by the fact that it's his late husband and not her current husband. But also she was the one who hooked Dexter up with his house with Rita. Mm-hmm. And that was his starting his life kind of with a woman. And now he's off somewhere else. He's selling his apartment. He's selling the new life that he started to create a new life somewhere else.
And also Saxon alluded to Rita, and he's like, oh, well, you had a wife before and she died, and look how that turned out. So what's going to happen with your new girlfriend and your kid and all these connections you have?
Yeah, making a good point that if another one of his girlfriends or family members or friends, if they start dying off, that people would start looking into him a little bit more, being like, why is there so much death around him and murder around him?
So let me ask you this, the truth. Do you believe Saxon would have backed off everything related to Dexter?
I think as a point of survival, I think he may have. I'm like 60-40.
I'm positive. I think he would have. I think he was going
to
back off.
Yeah, because what's Dexter going to do to him from Argentina?
I think it's interesting. I mean, taking a look at the scene from the perspective that Dexter's now human and not a psychopath, because that's what their whole arc this season was, is creating Dexter into a human and no longer the old Dexter. I thought it was interesting to think about that in season one, if somebody had told Dexter that, and something like that, the reaction might have been different. Because right now he's threatening Dexter's, like, love of his life and his son and things like that. But before, I mean, you realize that he didn't really love Rita.
He was using her as a cover before.
Yeah, and I mean, people, this has been a huge controversy since Rita passed away, of course. Spoiler alert, I mean, if you're watching season 8, I don't know why you wouldn't have seen that season. is whether he really loved Rita or not, or whether it was just more his fury of her death was because Trinity got the best of him in the end. He had the last word. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, a man offer him a truce, speaking of his family as pawns, when, I mean, technically now they're not pawns. I mean, he loves them.
Yeah. Yeah, he does love them. He does. He really, obviously, it's his own, it's his blood. This kid came from him. And then we got somebody he found on his own that shares everything he loves to do, or he loved at least, you know, killing.
But Saxon is him from the past. Saxon is the one who wants a cover that is expendable. He wouldn't care if he was married to someone and someone went and killed him. He would think, okay, they didn't kill me. But Saxon is the old Dexter. He's heartless. He just doesn't have the code.
Yeah, he just doesn't. He's completely unguided. And that's kind of where that analogy fails a little bit, I feel.
Yeah.
But he does represent a part of Dexter, that part that he wants to finish off, I guess, before he can move on to Argentina. He doesn't want to leave loose ends.
He seemed in disbelief when Dexter said, I don't want to kill you. Like, he seemed like, wait, like, you're not urging to kill me right now?
I was in disbelief, too.
But it's kind of what he was looking for when he went to his mom. You know, he wanted to be able to learn how to be like that and how to be, have her teach things that Dexter was taught. So, yeah, he's completely that student that hasn't learned anything yet.
So what if this went another way? Let's just say they successfully arrest Saxon. They get him to court. What's he going to say? What's his alibi going to be? Will he spill everything about Dexter to maybe get a plea bargain to get, like, less time or even just get complete immunity?
What could he do? Dexter will be in Argentina.
I wonder if it's a non-extradition treaty country. But Dexter would be in Argentina. And, you know, there would be such a public outcry for everything this guy has done because it's been all over the news. It would be like if they let him go from the trial, from being executed pretty much. The public would hate it. The public would totally hate the police department and then the state prosecutor.
Well, what I would wonder in that circumstance was, did Vogel take notes on Deb? And does he have the notes on Deb? Because if then, he would know that Deb killed LaGuardia. He would know all these other things that he could say about Deborah, and he would have the files somewhere probably backed up.
And even if Dexter, he did delete everything on the computer, he shredded the files, whatever. It says permanently deleted. It's not really permanently deleted on there. Any forensic computer tech from a police department or FBI can go in there, and they can really retrieve everything that was on there. It's just, like, tucked away.
Well, at least they went one step further, though. Like, they didn't just have him throw it in the trash and throw it away.
Yeah.
He used an access program. And at this point, I believe we're supposed to think that Dexter is some master hacker, so nothing can ever happen bad to Dexter on computers.
He learned it from Lewis 2 seasons ago.
There you go. Learn it from Lewis. That's, like, a great name for a YouTube show.
Learn it from Lewis. We'd have to do our own, like, intro for the Learn It to Lewis. That's kind of like Dexter, but not really in some way. But, before we talk about our next topic, I actually wanted to mention to our AfterBuzz TV fans and followers, go into the iTunes store, go ahead and type into the search bar, Serial Buddies, guess what comes up? This awesome indie comedy slasher film, which it's written and directed by Kevin Undergaro, starring Maria Menounos, Christopher Lloyd, Christopher McDonald, Artie Lang, Kathy Lee Gifford, and a bunch of other funny cameos, amazing actors that participate in this film. And you guys can download it. Help us here at AfterBuzz TV keep the lights on and keep the hosts coming in, keep us, like, doing our shows. And we don't ask much from you guys, but go ahead and download it. And this is a call to arms for you guys to help us out. Download Serial Buddies today.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
You know what else you can do while you're on iTunes?
Rate and comment.
You can rate and comment this podcast by typing in AfterBuzz Dexter. I think we have 31 comments now.
We have a bunch.
Oh, wait, no, that's another show. We have like 60 or something. We have a lot.
Yeah, I think we have quite a bit. We get every week we get tons of comments on our YouTube channel. Actually, we'll be talking about them a little bit at our news and gossip section.
I want to say a special thanks to Tidal. Thank you. He had a nice comment for me.
What did he say?
He just said I was looking good.
He said JJ's looking good this week.
Oh, sweet.
Right on. Oh, you got a fan out there.
Ooh-wee.
All right, so Dexter doesn't need Harry anymore. So this kind of overlaps a little bit of what we've been talking about. But I thought it was a nice touch. Like, this episode, we saw a lot of Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, namely, when Dexter was sitting down in his apartment for the last time doing some research in there, and he was like, well, that doesn't sound like the old Dexter. And wait, you know what? Actually, that wasn't in the apartment, I think. But there was some point where he did say that. And Dexter had like a good retort back to him. So that was pretty neat. He said, like,
maybe I'm not the old Dexter.
Maybe I'm not the old Dexter. Mm-hmm. And he isn't. We've seen a transition. I'm finally glad to say that this was a satisfying transition for me. When Dexter finally spit it out, when Michael Seall finally spit those words out of his mouth as Dexter, saying like, hey, I'm moving on, I don't need to kill anymore. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. It was a nice touch. I know we've been talking about how we miss the old Dexter, and we do, but hey, we can watch the old episodes.
I totally agree with you. I like the moment with Harry, too, because that's what I didn't like about Vogel, was that I didn't like that she took all the power away from Harry, that when they made the decision to make her be the one teaching the code. That was the one choice I didn't like this season, because I loved it being Harry, because I liked seeing the struggle between those two, and I thought that really made the dynamic when Harry was in the room with him, like, intense, and like, you wanted to see what was going to be said between them. And then introducing the new character Vogel and having it being all her idea,
hated it,
took away from that intensity when they were in the room together. So I think with her being dead now, I was able to go back in my, you know, in my head and feel like, oh yeah, now it's again, it's just Dexter and Harry now battling this out again, this conflict.
The black holes of her dead eyes just sucked the code right in.
Yeah.
And it didn't let any light escape.
God.
But we did have another nice scene where Harry, you know, he says that, hey, you don't need me anymore. And I never thought I would see this day. And it was really, obviously he didn't, because he's dead. Mm-hmm. But it's so nice that part of Dexter's persona that's up there representing Harry, it was just, he was bathed in like sunlight, right? It was dawn. Mm-hmm. And it really was a good representation to me, very symbolic of the new dawn that's coming for, you know, for Dexter, at least in the next episode and the next part of his life after the season ends.
I think this episode was also largely a metaphor and largely a, like, in-your-face metaphor for the calm before the storm, though.
Yes.
Like, really, like, not even subtle. It's like, hey, there's a storm coming, guys, by the way. And the weather's perfect, but there's a storm coming.
Tropical Storm Laura.
Yeah.
My wife's name.
And then we have the whole episode. The whole episode was very, very slow-moving.
Yeah.
In that, I mean, we still get the little pop-ups of, oh, it's Saxon. Oh, it's Saxon. Hey, what's up? I'm Saxon. And then finally at the end is when the storm is beginning to start. And this is where, like, I think I really hope the pacing for next episode is really fast-paced.
It has to be.
Like, I want it to be, I sit down and 5 minutes have passed and the episode's over. Like, that's really what I want. Because tonight I was kind of, there were so many parts where I was like, okay, is it over? But now that I saw the real end, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of been a very slowly paced season, and we only have one episode left, so I really want to have something really satisfying. The cast have been saying it's fairly a satisfying ending.
Yeah, I agree with you. There were so many, which I know they had to wrap up, but it was like Dexter's having his little going away party. Then it was like the moment with Deb where she again was confirming that he is a person inside there, saying that, you know, he didn't have to have the code to be a good brother. So it was that episode where it's kind of, like you said, the calm kind of wrapping, tying up everything in a nice bow before.
And we get that nice, like, 30-second webisode, you know, of Vince and his daughter, which we still have no idea what is going on with.
If you add up all the time that Vince and his daughter Nikki have spent together this season, it could have totally made a webisode.
I think we keep trying. Like, you tried to say, like, oh, maybe she's pregnant. That's it. That's
yeah.
I think, like, you're trying to...
I'm trying to pull something out of this puddle of brown
why
liquid that
there.
Is the story.
So why, like, why is it, Steven? Let's explain to our listeners a little bit. Why is it that you thought she was pregnant?
Okay, because they're at a bar, and she's like a girl who works in a restaurant industry. She's like in the bar area. She works
in a
like,
slutty outfit
yeah,
in
it's
a
like
restaurant,
the Hooters kind of thing.
Yeah,
she reminds me of the type of girl who'd go to a bar and have a beer. She doesn't strike me as someone who'd go to a bar where everyone's enjoying themselves and have a Diet Coke. Like, that's really like when she said Diet Coke and didn't order a drink, I was like, she's pregnant. Like, I paused it. I was like, she's pregnant.
And we all thought for a second. And then I'm like, no. I'm like, she can't be. She just got busted for smoking weed like last week. Or, you know, and then I'm like, I don't think the show would condone that.
But I mean, it kind of makes sense if you think about it in this storyline. I don't want to go too far into this just because it's such a webisode storyline that doesn't really affect the show really that much. But, I mean, Vince wasn't in her life. So this child's father is probably not going to be in her life. So she probably wants some kind of male figure in its life. So, hey, let's go talk back to dad. Hey, I'm going to have a lot of medical expenses pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Who can I get? Miss Doting Granddaddy. Take care of the kid.
Yeah.
No, it made sense.
He looked like more of a grandfather, too, with those funny-looking sunglasses on.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just... It sucks that Vince didn't have such a huge role in this season, but giving him this crap storyline, I mean, I don't care. I want to see it in a webisode. I don't want to take up 3 minutes of the show that should have really good stuff in it with that. And I said so when it opens the episode with the previews of what happened last episode. We see one scene that has to do with the brain surgeon. We only see Vogel's death. Everything else, every other storyline they touched on was Deb and Quinn and Vince and Masuka, and like the other, I mean, not Vince and Masuka, Vince and his daughter, like the other storylines, nothing to do with Dexter being a serial killer. I don't know.
I wanted to bring up at the same place, well, at the same bar, obviously, that was it Papa's again? It probably was.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in that scene, we actually had Dexter get up in front of everybody. Well, he didn't get up. He was like kind of like there, and Batista just like announced it to everybody that he was going to be leaving. And I really liked that moment too. It was like it was kind of like prolonging of the goodbye that Dexter has had since last episode. And it when he was telling everybody and acknowledging like thank you, and everybody was like, were they like applauding or like aw, you know, doing like awing or whatever they were doing. It was a really tender moment, I felt. And Dexter, he's not used to that. He's not used to having like praise and admiration and like telling everybody saying to him that they're really going to miss him. So it was cool to see him kind of accept it. And again, he's becoming more human. And even Deb, when they were sitting down over at the apartment before they laid the trap for Saxon to come in, Deb was even saying to him like, bro, I know you think you're a monster, but you're way more human than a lot of people that I work with than you think you are.
Did I miss something? Like, because I know Dexter didn't want to tell anyone he was leaving, and then suddenly Matthews knew, and then everyone knew. Like, did I miss something where they told everyone?
Batista announced it right there, I think, because he was like getting really close to him leaving. So he's like, "Hey, we're all here. Why not?"
That was the first time everyone found out.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
It was
just
Vogel's.
Making sure.
It was Vogel's funeral, and it just happened to be. You know, it's gossip, right? Everybody's just like spreading it around. Eventually.
Okay. Just making sure, because I didn't know if it was like that was going to be when everyone found out and nobody else knew except Batista. That was what was confusing.
Matthews too. That was another tender moment when he was like, "Hey, you can come back at any time to the station if you ever need a job when you come back from Argentina."
All right.
Yeah, let's talk about let's wrap this up with Elway and Clayton tailing Hannah. So we kind of went over that stuff a little bit. Clayton interrogates Deb in that one scene, and she's lying her ass off to him, which it was a pretty inventive lie, I must say. Oh, that she didn't know who she was looking at. That nurse just mistook me for that blonde lady on the news.
I haven't been blonde since really bad freshman year.
Yeah, that was funny.
She had really poor eyesight, you know? Like, I checked her, you know, driver's license. She needed corrective lenses. She was not wearing them.
Yeah, she lied really quickly on that one.
She did, but
I mean, it's so obvious. Like, she knows. So it's like, what are you going to say?
And even Elway, when he came in, they used that as ammunition. Elway comes in. He goes. He totally forced his way into Deb's place, right? And he's scoping out the place, looking around, and he sees those expensive shoes, his expensive purse, and he's like, "There's someone else here. Oh, let's look over at the table. Oh, there's three places for adults at the table with wine glasses. That's interesting." Yeah. Anyway,
again, Elway's character really didn't develop into much this season.
No.
He was it's Sean Patrick Flannery. Like, it's an amazing actor, and it's really for his character have an arc, it doesn't.
Well, thankfully, it's overlapping more with the other characters' storylines. It's really intersecting a lot now. It's not too separated from everything. And maybe Hannah's going to kill him next time.
I thought it was great how Deb covered for Hannah so much. And then we get a little tender moment between Hannah and Deb in the car when she's dropping her off at the hotel.
Yes.
She's like, I mean, I know it's like, I hate you, but... I mean, I want a relationship with my nephew and kind of things like that. It's like, I guess you're in the equation.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, truce.
Another moment that made us nervous, though, too, because if they were just at our house, it's like we kind of said the last week, don't you put a baseball cap on, glasses, like something? To, like,
nothing.
Yeah, they're just
nothing.
Hanging out in the car.
I know.
You can't look this good and cover it up. No wig, nothing. Okay, Hannah, you're the master of disguise right there, aren't you?
Just get out in the front of the hotel.
So, Quinn and Deb. And we have a cute scene, the only scene with them together that was significant. She's digging through his desk looking for his supplies to use, and Stephen, you totally called it, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, she's going to find the wedding ring. She's going to find the wedding ring. She's going to find the ring. And she found the wedding ring.
She found it. And that was a pretty big-sized rock.
No, yeah. He proposed to her already with it.
Yeah,
I bet she probably just thought he sold it, but it's Quinn.
He kept it.
He's Mr. Misattachment. Like like you look at Katya, he went and got attached just like that. Like you knew he still had that ring.
He killed people for Katya.
He changed evidence for Katya, which never fell back on him.
Yeah, it didn't. Well, Dexter's done it so many times.
I know, but it was also interesting last season. By the way, during this season, I was just thinking how much I miss Isaac Serco because he was such a great character last season. It's interesting how they set everything up for Quinn to fall and then nothing really happened to him. And now this season, it's like that never even happened because he's with Jamie. I don't know. I want to see something brought up in Quinn's past to come bite him a little bit. Not like kill him, but bite him.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can have Liddy come back from the dead. And
you should have saved me.
having Liddy and Jamie, and she's in the new RoboCop. He's the old.
Yes, exactly. That's what I've been thinking about the whole time. I'm thinking about all those connections happening. All right, let's move on to our news and gossip now.
AfterBuzz TV News.
JJ, I know you have some really good news and gossip.
I do. So I was at Dexter Daily, and then I found a really cool, somebody named Fiber3 Optics posted on YouTube a rewrite of this season. And you guys should check it out. It's pretty entertaining. And I know sometimes we've got some negative feedback from viewers saying that we were negative about our reviews here, but I think we love the show. We just had so many expectations for this last season that we were just so excited for it. And I think what we wanted was some more of the main characters to be more involved, and we just felt like they introduced a lot of new characters that in the final season we kind of just didn't care enough about. So anyway, this guy has a really interesting rewrite where he kind of lays out the season the way he would have liked to have written it, and he really uses a lot of those main characters. So if you have time, you should definitely check it out and watch it, because it's pretty entertaining. It
gives Vince a better role without Random Daughter, gives Quinn a better role without his character not making much sense. Mm-hmm. Jamie and Quinn aren't really dating in this.
He keeps Zach around, and he actually has it be that Dexter did train Zach, and then Zach ends up getting mad, kills Jamie. So then Dexter goes after Zach, but then that has enraged Batista and Quinn. Then they all start thinking about that, kind of leads them to Dexter. So then the chase for Dexter kind of begins more.
Yeah. So that's I was going to sum it up with that too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty much the premise of this guy's video on YouTube, is that it's everybody's going to find out that Dexter's a serial killer, and it's going to make it like it really will happen this time. And there'll be so many allusions to the past seasons, like season 2 with Dokes and DNA and dental stuff. And it's really cool the way this guy set it up. And Dexter, you know, still, like, he still ends up trying to get to Argentina, so he keeps some stuff around. I really enjoy that. And I tweeted that out. Because I got the link for it, thanks to you, JJ. And I tweeted it out, but I accidentally thought it was from Anna because of the email.
We're all on the same team.
You know, like the email forwarding and stuff. So anyway, I tweeted that out. If you guys want to go ahead and click on that link, and you guys can check it out and enjoy it. Was there any other?
Well, I can also say one from Anna. She sent to all of us. The whole cast was at the Paley Center, and they did a, you know, talking about the final episodes. And there was a really sweet moment where Jennifer Carpenter kind of got a little choked up and teared up talking about, you know, they had asked her how it was to work with her, you know, ex-husband. And, yeah, so that was another kind of cool, I think, moment to view as a Dexter fan, and just an interesting interview of all the cast. If you guys want to YouTube that and watch that, about a 45-minute video.
I was looking at some of the pictures of Michael C. Hall now. It looks like he has his hair cut really short on the sides, and it's like still there's a little bit of it on top now. It's so different, you know, because we've been seeing him for so many years of just the combed look. That's it, you know, slightly grown out hair, combed look.
And Desmond was bald. First, and I was like, who was that guy? Yeah, he was like bald in that. So I wonder what his next role is going to be. I should have looked that one up, but.
Regarding tweets, I got a bunch of them that I tweeted out on my account, at Sean Austin O. We have Amy Garcia. She also tweeted about the Dexter panel at the Paley Center. Additionally, she tweeted, apparently it's illegal to flag down a cab in hashtag Vegas. I learned the hard way. Hashtag what? And I didn't know this either, but she was having a tweet conversation with Jonathan Scott at Mr. Silver Scott. And he tweeted back at her. They did a couple of tweets back and forth, but he said, at Amy underscore Garcia, I'm usually working the strip handing out those cards. So I never need my car. Laugh out loud. Awkward. So that was a pretty funny little tweet conversation. If you guys want to check that out, I retweeted those as well on my account. And also, Yvonne Strahovski, at Y underscore Strahovski, she tweeted out this a few days ago. Question. What color is this board in a dispute with someone right now? And oh yeah, surfing rocks my world. So she's so into surfing, mm-hmm. and there's an interesting twit pic up there of her holding up what appears to be, to me, a red or maybe maroon red surfboard. And people were saying like some weird, crazy colors to her, I guess. But she ultimately decided, thanks to the Twitterverse, that it is red. So I'm glad.
All right.
That was solved.
I'm glad we solved that problem.
I think this is actually kind of funny. Michael C. Hall is going to be in a movie in 2014 called I Fought the Law. I just thought it was ironic seeing his character as Dexter.
Right on.
Oh, and he has another one right now coming out, I think, in October, indie one. Kill Your Darlings?
I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, I did see that in the email.
He was just at the Toronto Film Festival promoting that.
Oh, man, he's landing so many law enforcement, serial killer, killing roles. Things are killing them, thanks to his death.
What was that game? Role. Was it Gamer?
Yes.
The movie Gamer, and I wasn't expecting Michael C. Hall in that at all when I saw it, and I was like,
yeah, I didn't.
I enjoyed it.
It was, I you know what, I didn't like his, I kind of liked him in a way, but I didn't like him trying to be, like, physical in the role. Like, he seemed more like he should have just stuck to being a mental villain, like someone who fights the hero with his mind, you know. And he was trying to do that too, but then he tried to do stuff with, like, actually fighting Gerard Butler, and he ended up getting his ass beat, I felt.
In a way. So,
let's go into predictions now.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Steven just had a seizure right now.
I know, seriously, man.
Thanks to the After Buzz lights in here for the predictions. I'm going to say Hannah and Harrison will get away to Argentina, but I feel like Dexter is going to sacrifice himself to ensure that they get away. He's going to block Elway, maybe get behind bars. But I feel like he may likely end up dead rather than behind bars, because then everybody's going to find out what happened to him if he ends up behind bars, right? JJ?
You actually stole one of my... I think that Dexter was going to die, too. I don't think Deb is going to die. I think she's going to... I think she's going to recover from the bullet, but I do think she is going to tell Quinn everything. I agree with you. I think Harrison and Hannah are going to be fine, and I think it's going to be doomsday for Dexter.
Not like the doomsday killer, though.
No.
So you think it's going to be just Hannah and Harrison in Argentina?
Well, for right now, I think they'll be on the plane. I mean, they may...
I still think they're going to pull the double plane thing, and we saw there was two flights. Hannah's going to be on one flight, and Dexter and Harrison are going to be on another flight. Elway is going to crash the flight that Dexter's on. They're not going to have him for anything. I think Quinn's going to be the one to take out Saxon, and it's going to be maybe a mobile thing with Dexter guiding Quinn through it. And I think Quinn, I don't know, we'll see Saxon die somehow. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I can't really make a really good prediction off what we've seen today.
I had another alt that just came into my head when if Hannah and Harrison did get on the plane, then Dexter didn't sell his boat this time. So he still has his boat. Right. So maybe he rides off at the end and then, you know,
rides off into the sunset.
Take a long boat ride to get to them.
with his small beer cooler.
Yeah, I still think we
but
will
he's got all those motors, so. Yeah.
The one thing I liked from that little different season thing, I did like the prediction that we'll see the opening sequence filmed differently. I'd like to see the opening mm-hmm. sequence in Argentina with, like, Dexter greeting Hannah or seeing Harrison or, like, tying Harrison's shoe or something like that. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Oh, that would be neat. I really like that, Stephen. Well, anyway, you guys, thank you so much for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV on our Dexter podcast. Be sure to tune in next week because guess what? That's the last episode we're going to be doing for Dexter ever, at least for the series. Hopefully there's a movie.
Is the guest confirmed or not?
I do not think so because I wasn't handling that.
All right.
But tune in next week, you guys, and rate and comment us. If you guys want to follow us, hey, give me a follow at Sean Austin O on Twitter.
And I'm at JJ Jorgens on Twitter and JJJorgens.com.
And I'm at Stephen Lemieux, and you'll see me here doing After Buzz and watching from the booth all of Sean's amazing shows. Check Sean out and Ray Donovan.
Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, guys. We'll talk with you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.